The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this week we are considering four foundations on which our practice can be based that are both simple and deep. Things that we can do right away from any stage of the path, and that will carry us far on the path if we let them keep unfolding and blossoming. And today we are on the fourth of these, which is to train for peace. And the word for peace here is santi, or shanti in Sanskrit. Some of you may have heard that word. And this is the kind of peace that is associated with letting go and with liberation. So there's a lot of levels of that, of course. And for today, let's not take this one incrementally at the beginning. Let's start right off with the kind of deep peace that can even surprise us, that really opens us, which can occur at times at any point along the path. So we might call it utter peace. Does this resonate in any way for you? It could happen in meditation, can also happen in physical or mental exertion, can happen through a poem, a painting, a piece of music, a walk in nature. There's suddenly a clear feeling of peace inside and outside. And the sense of self drops away, and one experiences no separation from the world and all of its wonder and strangeness. And there may even be a sense of awe or reverence that such a peace could be possible for humans. And it gives us a new reference point in our practice of remembering wisdom, of opening to truth, and learning to let go, the other three things that we've talked about this week. A friend of mine who practices in the Tibetan tradition was drawn to go visit the Kuan Yin statue at the Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City. It's an amazing piece. I've only seen pictures of it, but it's strikingly beautiful and apparently quite large. Kuan Yin is the Bodhisattva of compassion in the Mahayana tradition. And this friend of mine actually went and stood before this amazing sculpture. And he said his mind was stopped by its evocative power. And in fact, he was moved to tears in that moment. But surrounding all of that emotional response was a deep sense of utter peace. So if you've experienced something like this, it's a landmark for you. It doesn't mean that you're awakened necessarily, and certainly not that you're special compared to other people. But it's worth letting such an experience kind of seep into your heart and work in your heart over the years. So I wanted to point to that right away, so that we have a context. Sometimes these things can happen to us, but with no context, we can't integrate them. So now, let's dial back and toward a more ordinary experiences of peace that we tend to have, we could have even every day. So every time we let go of greed or aversion or delusion, there's an opening to some kind of peace in the wake of letting go. And this release, we can learn to recognize that that release itself is what includes the peace. So as an example, Gil tells a story of realizing that he was getting kind of agitated around getting his kids off to school in the morning. That was his task for a while in the household. And, you know, there was always kind of a rush. He couldn't get them to get their jackets and shoes on and get to the car without getting distracted along the way. And he realized that His children weren't responsible for that. He was the one feeling agitated, and he thought, what is going on that I keep getting agitated doing this? And eventually he realized that what he was doing in the mornings was lingering over the paper. He wanted to read the paper. He got interested in it, and he wanted to read it more fully than there was really time for in the task of dealing with the kids also. So once he saw that what was really underpinning his agitation was a wanting to be with the paper at that moment, he decided consciously to let go of that. I'll read that later. And with that, he felt more at ease. And it was the wanting that was the issue. It wasn't that the kids weren't doing it right or something. So often it's like this. If we can identify somewhere underneath our agitation, what is it that I'm wanting and holding on to, or not wanting and pushing away, or what is it that I'm not seeing clearly? And the release of that will suddenly make the situation much easier. I sometimes use the phrase, if I'm struggling, what would I have to let go of at this moment to be more easeful? What would I have to let go of to make this easier? And often it's something simple, something that I hadn't seen. Or sometimes it takes longer to unfold what's really going on there, but it's a nice practice question. So we can ask then, how do we get there with this instruction to train for peace, the fourth of the foundations, to train for peace? What is that training? So largely, the training is to use the qualities of the goal as the path. That is kind of a skillful imitation, if you will. Essentially, it says, if you want peace, be peaceful. Similarly, more specific things, if you want to be a more generous person, then start being generous. So what would I have to let go of to make this easier? How can I bring peace to this very moment? So we can, for the specifics, we can look to one of the suttas. Somebody once asked the Buddha about what a peaceful person is like. And it's worth hearing his response. It's kind of long, but I hope you'll allow me to read the whole thing, or at least most of it. I slightly excerpted. So the person's question is, how does one see, how does one behave, the one who is said to be peaceful? They ask the Buddha. That's a nice question. How does one see, how does one behave, the one who is said to be peaceful? So the Buddha says, devoid of craving before death, not dependent on the past, not to be reckoned by the middle, for him there are no preferences. She is without anger, unafraid, not boastful, not regretful, speaking with reflection, not restless. One is truly a contemplative, controlled in speech. One is without attachment to the future. One does not sorrow over the past. One sees seclusion in the midst of sense contacts and is not led astray among views. Withdrawn, not scheming, without longing, not miserly, courteous, not morally repulsive, not intent on slander, not swept up by enjoyment and not swollen with arrogance, gentle, gifted with ingenuity, not credulous, not growing dispassionate. He does not train from a desire for gain, nor is he irritated over a lack of gain, not hostile because of craving. He does not hanker after tasty food. Equanimous, ever mindful. In the world, she does not conceive herself to be equal, superior, or inferior. For her, there are no swellings. They have no dependencies. Having known the Dhamma, they are independent. No craving is found in them for existence or non-existence. I call them peaceful, who is indifferent to sense pleasures. In them, no knots are found. They have crossed over attachment. In her, there is nothing to be found as either taken up or rejected. One who takes nothing in the world as one's own, and who does not sorrow over what is absent, and is uninvolved in doctrines, that one is truly said to be peaceful. So just let those words settle in your mind. It's too many to remember them all. So see what is still echoing for you. Maybe just one word or phrase felt meaningful. One overall comment is that many of the items named are things that the peaceful person is not. Right? There was a lot of not in there, not this, not that. Mostly we're becoming free of various things. In the sutta where the Buddha names the four foundations that we've been talking about this week, he says that the supreme peace is the pacification of greed, hatred, and delusion. We are pacifying the forces in our mind and heart that contribute to suffering. That's what peace is. This path is the ultimate peace movement, pacifying greed, hatred, and delusion. Despite all these words, there isn't actually much to say about peace. As noted, it's mostly an absence. So it's important to notice absences, notice the releases, notice the endings, notice the letting go that we talked about yesterday. Do we notice that? Often we rush on to the next thing that's present, the next thing that's arising, the next thing on our to-do list. That's just habitual. So linger with the letting go. Linger with the space that's there when something ends. Linger with the feeling of release, which is the peace. So peace is available now, in some measure, in some way. And notice that and make it your training to encourage peace wherever it appears. This is how we train for peace. So the growth of peace in one's life, I would say, depends on valuing it, on really wanting to protect it, wanting to preserve it, wanting to feel into it. That's a kind of wanting that's skillful. So it's interesting to check in our mind, you know, what are the forces that don't value peace? And why am I investing in those? Mostly out of habit. And is there a part that really does value peace and is willing to enact that and embody that? And that's the training. That's how we train for peace. We become peaceful by being peaceful whenever we can. So, not neglecting wisdom, preserving truth, cultivating relinquishment, and training for peace. The four foundations that we can start right now at any level. And if we keep unfolding them, they will go very far, maybe all the way to liberation. Tomorrow, we'll step back and look at the bigger picture around these. And I'll tell you the story that goes in the sutta with these also. So have a peaceful day. Take care.